Public Financing Authority and Successor Agency, June 27th, 2017. And Barbara, if we could have roll call, please. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. If we could all rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. The worst thing to miss, sorry.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, Barbara, now roll call, please.
Councilmember Janda.
Present.
Councilmember Patterson.
Here.
Vice Mayor Broadway.
Here.
Councilmember Gallardo.
Here.
And Mayor Yule.
Here. All right, first item of order is item number four, reports from boards, committees, or commissions. Greg, I'll start with you down there.
Nothing to report.
I attended the Highway 65 Biz Johnson JPA, which consists of us, Roseville, and Placer County. We talked about funding using existing fees already, funding existing or project to of the Stanford Ranch overpass to help alleviate some of the traffic congestion, and that's going to be in partnership with the Placer County Transportation Planning Agency to help alleviate traffic on 65. So, anyway, it was a very exciting meeting. Spent millions of dollars, and traffic will now be relieved.
All right, Mr. Broadway.
Nothing to report today.
Thank you. Jill?
Nothing to report.
All right, I would like to report out serving on the successor agency that we met Monday of last week, I believe. And we did approve, which is required, a previous council meeting, we approved the big gun parcel out here and then the other parcels that kind of are adjacent to where the potential roundabouts will go at Rockland Road and Pacific. And as a matter of procedure, the successor agency, and I think our chair here, Jerry Mitchell, I see out there, we approved those, as did the council, so that's moving forward. All right, thank you. Next item is the consent or agenda modifications. Is there anyone here from council that has any agenda modifications? Anyone from the public? Okay. Next item is a consent calendar. Council, is anyone wishing to make any changes to the consent calendar or pull anything? Anyone from the public? Okay. The consent calendar, again, are considered routine items, and I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve the consent calendar as noted in the agenda.
All right.
Second.
Oh, good, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? All right, passes unanimously. All right, next item is exciting, and we are going to be swearing in our new youth commissioner, Alexa Nahara. You ready to come up? Just come right up here, and our city clerk will.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me. State your name.
Alexa.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic. That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California. That I take this obligation freely
without any mental reservation
or purpose of evasion,
and that I will faithfully discharge
the duties upon which I'm about to enter. Congratulations.
Thank you. Next item is citizens addressing the city council. And this is where anyone in the public can address the City Council on any items that are not on the agenda. Okay. Hearing none, we will move forward. Next item's public hearing, so I'm going to open, public hearing. And before us is item 24, the Rockland Municipal Code Swimming Pool Standard Modifications and Zoning Ordinance Amendment. We have a staff report.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council Members. Brett Finning on behalf of the Economic and Community Development Department. The Planning Commission and staff are recommending that the Council modify Section 1708.150 of the Rockland Municipal Code relating to swimming pools. The proposed amendment would modify the Municipal Code to allow homeowners greater flexibility in how to comply with pool enclosure requirements of the California Building Code. Existing language requires the use of fencing alone. The proposed amendment would allow homeowners to utilize several alternative and less alternative or less intrusive methods in conjunction with existing fencing to comply with the minimum enclosure requirements. It is also proposed that existing obsolete language limiting the size of swimming pools in the rear yard of multiple dwelling and dwelling groups be deleted. This language originated in 1977 and is no longer readily applicable to today's multifamily developments. And the issue is better and more flexibly addressed as a part of the design review process, which did not exist in 1977. The Planning Commission considered this proposal at a hearing on June 6th and voted 5-0 to recommend that the Council approve the ordinance amendment as proposed. That concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'll do my best to answer them.
Okay, thank you. Questions from Council? Down to my right. Joe? Okay. Any questions?
No questions.
All right. I don't have any questions either, probably just a comment. Any input from the public? I'll close public hearing. Okay, and bring that back to Council. Joe, you said you had a comment, so.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Rick, Mark, Fred, and others who had a role in putting together this ordinance revision. We did talk about it before, so I won't labor the points, but essentially what happens, certain homes that are built against a green belt, Rockland has more strict ordinance than state law required, and so because of various ways the fences are built, Rockland's now providing some flexibility for people who live on the green belt to comply with the pool ordinance and ensure safety at the same time. So thanks for working on that. And we'll have a lot of happy residents who already have pools in the ground, but no final permit. So,
any other comments? All right, I'll add to the comment. I want to thank Councilmember Patterson for bringing that issue to light. And I know through your efforts, that's when government works best, when we're responsive and we're able to fix something that needed fixing. So appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, so I have, again, item 24 before us, and I would entertain a motion.
I would like to make a motion to approve item 24A. Do you need me to say it exactly?
So just to clarify, this is the introduction of the ordinance, the waiver of the full reading of the ordinance, and it will be continued to the next regular meeting for adoption.
Yes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second for item 24A. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Next item is item 25, A, B, and C. These are resolutions, and this is regarding our budget for fiscal year 2017-18. And we're looking forward. The floor is yours.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council. Jason Johnson, Administrative Services. You have before you resolutions for the fiscal year 2017-18 operating budget, operating transfer budget, and capital expenditure budget. The final budget submitted for your approval has no monetary changes to the draft budget presented to Council and discussed at the May 23rd Council meeting. There is one additional new position for fiscal year 17-18, a code enforcement officer in the Legislative Department, the cost of which will be offset by future vacated positions that will not be backfilled. As noted in the City Manager's budget submittal letter, it is a balanced budget and strategic in its approach to the many challenges we face as a city. Staff submits the budget for fiscal year 17-18 for your approval tonight. I would be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Okay, any questions? I'll start with Vice Mayor Broadway.
no questions at this point in time.
Okay. Councilmember Gallardo?
I think I had most of mine answered from staff already, so
okay.
Thank you.
Councilmember Janda?
Nope, no questions.
Councilmember Patterson? Okay. And I assume we'll have some comments, but I'll maybe start with a comment too, just to remind the public that we've heard this. This is our budget, and we've heard this pretty extensively last meeting, and we're bringing it forward now kind of for a finalization. So largely that's why there's probably not a lot of questions. And any input from the public before I? Okay. And apparently we have no questions, just comments. So thank you. Okay. Who would like to start comments? Vice Mayor?
Absolutely. Well, I just want to thank Kim and Jason, first of all, for the time you've taken over the past 2 months to spend time answering lots and lots of questions, but also putting together a very sound, you and staff, putting together a very sound, balanced budget for the city of Rockland. I feel you've done a fantastic job. And I guess I will ask Kim, there's one thing that I did want to ask you, and I'm sorry I didn't call you today to talk about this, but I did want to ask you if there is any one thing that keeps you up at night when you think about our budget, what is it?
Dealing with the...
Besides me.
I wasn't going to say that. Dealing with the unfunded liabilities, the pension liability. Looking at, if you look at our 10-year, you will see how that really impacts it. And as we all know, we've really invested in our community, in the investments in the streets over the last, you know, couple years. And so therefore, that's going to be a big hit. So that's... But I really believe... Council's already taken steps in the past, so it is not something that causes me nightmares.
Okay.
Whereas if council a couple years ago wouldn't have taken these steps, and I'm talking probably a decade ago, then it would be nightmares and running for the hills. But we're not there. We are not like the other cities that you're hearing out there running around. Is it going to hurt? Yeah. Is it going to kill us? No. And we've already, you know, council's already set the stage by using your funding, the policies, the reserve policies that we've got, and using the excess reserves off the general fund, a certain portion of it, not all of it, to pay down the particular, whether it's OPEB or the pension. That has really helped a lot. And all of the employee groups that we've been working with in the past and working with in the future, we've all worked together as a team because we all want to row the ship in the same direction, not tear it apart if everybody rows in different directions. So that's the truth, my answer.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for that, and thank you again for all the hard work that you and Team Rockland do to make this such a wonderful community and to create the sustainability that's necessary. So that's all that I have.
Okay. Councilmember Gallardo.
Fairly similar. I appreciate the work. I think it's, I don't you think we can underestimate that or emphasize how important it is that we have such a strong base that we're at and working with our employee groups so they understand exactly that. We're doing this together because it's good for everybody down the road. So I'm really proud of being in such a strong financial position and appreciate the hard work that you guys have done and putting up with our endless list of questions. Now it makes it sound so easy when we get to this point. But thank you.
Councilmember Janda.
Sure. Yeah, just to echo the comments, thank you, Kim, and your staff, and pretty much everybody in the city, because each department plays a role in you know, everybody's got to make sacrifices to make things work, and everyone's a team player, so that's evident. In the 5 years I've been involved in this capacity, I mean, every year you present, you know, a very simple to read and process budget that's well thought out, balanced, and also has those reserves and the funding mechanisms that we've put in place that you presented us with those options to begin with. We didn't pull them out of the air, so greatly appreciate that. And I think, I mean, it's not going to end. I think the state's going to continue to you know, put unfunded mandates on us, whether it's increased pension costs or other things. And but year in, year out, the entire city staff has done a fantastic job of tackling those as they come to us. So so far so good. We're able to keep plugging away. So hopefully you guys keep doing a good job. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Councilmember Patterson.
Yes, I too spent some time, just a little bit of time, going over the budget and supporting documents. A couple things stood out just in the normal budget document that's online for everybody to view, was the growth of the which I'm glad we've taken steps in the past, but the growth of the gap between the general fund revenues and expenditures and things like that, and growing over time. And you know, obviously it's scary because we'll have to address some of those, obviously ongoing, you know, those are things we got to think about, and how do we continue providing critical public services and the same level of service. And I know staff has been focused on that. The second thing that stood out to me was just going over not only the capital investment plan but also the expenditure plan, was really, I never really focus on it this closely, but how much money we are investing downtown. You know, from the Adventure Park, Quarry Park, which is already built, the roundabout, the fire station, Quarry Park Phase 2, repurposing the existing fire station, Veterans Park. So it's a lot of money, and, you know, obviously I think as council and staff, we're going to be invested in making sure that, does become the economic driver in the future, and helping to ensure that the budget gap doesn't get as big as it shows in that graph. Just one other item I wanted to say, I did talk with the staff, the city manager about this, but within the budget we have the strategic plan, and I do want to, when we approve, I would like to keep that in draft form and sort of hold that part of it. I know it's not part of the budget, but it was in the documents, and ensure that we have a strategic planning meeting to talk about that document. There are a lot of things in there that are great, and we might not change it at all, but I want to be sure we have a focused discussion on that. We can set a date, you know, if we want here, but hopefully similar to what we did last time, maybe a Friday, half day sort of thing, that we can all hash out each one of those objectives and make sure we're obviously clear as a council, give the city manager the direction that I'm sure he wants, and for us to all be clear on and not ambiguous on things. So that's the only comment I have regarding the strategic plan. So.
Okay. Regarding the strategic plan too, yeah, it is, as you noted, it's draft form, and it's not part of what we're approving tonight. The resolutions aren't directly, or aren't approving the plan. I think it's there, as you pointed out, Joe, just for some clarification and some history. So I too would support having one of our study sessions that we've had, the quarterly study sessions. I think that would be a perfect topic, and maybe probably summer months. I mentioned this to you, Rick, and I know the summer months might be a little tough just for staff and things, but
with council's permission, we'll ask Barbara to start pulling together your schedules. I know there's some vacations and things we need to work around, but we'll start calling to pull your schedules and get that scheduled at a time that works to everyone's calendar.
Yeah, so maybe third quarter, I guess, is what you're thinking, or just after summer, you think?
September possibly, but it depends on everyone's schedules. We have a lot of staff vacations, and a lot of you are taking time off. But we'll start calling immediately to go ahead and get on the books.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I know that's probably a future agenda item we're tackling early, but
okay.
That's fine. Mine's comment, and not necessarily, I was going to ask a question, but I think I'll just make a comment on it. So I know in last year's budget, we all told through various pots of money here. I know we contributed $50,000 to the Gathering Inn, and I noticed that the budget we're budgeted to provide about $5,000 less to the Gathering Inn through this budget. And I know we last year were able to find some discretionary money and things, I think through the city manager's discretion, to cover some of the shortfalls. And so I'm hopeful we could do that this year too. I mean, after we get this budget approved.
Council, with your permission, I'd be happy to move that forward, but we won't make it a part of tonight's budget, so don't complicate it. But I'd be happy to move that forward and advise you when we get it done.
Okay, yeah. And I too want to thank staff, as I thank every year or every time we do a budget, and done a few now, and we're balanced, and we're recognized as being very credit worthy, and because of the work that we're doing, and the Kim's team. I mean, when I first got on the council, I have to be honest, the budget was a little difficult to fully understand. It has been, wonderfully kind of retooled in more readable format, and it's very helpful, and it's a pleasure to see that, and so the public can know that we're using their tax dollars wisely. Okay, so I appreciate that. And also, Jason, thank you for, where'd you go? Thank you for your reports, for stepping up. This has been helpful. So we have before us, is this something we can take in all at once?
Yes, sir, you can.
All right, item 25 on the budget, item 25 is A, B, and C.
Mr. Mayor, move approve items 25, A, B, and C as indicated on the agenda.
I'll second.
Right, we have a motion and a second for item 25A, B, and C. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. And again, thank you. Next item is our salary and compensation schedules. And so there's item 26, A, B, C, and D. And there will be a report. Mr. Green.
Yes. Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council members. My name is Michael Green, Human Resources Manager with the City of Rockland. And agenda item 26A is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland approving salary and compensation schedules in the classification plan for the 2017-18 fiscal year. And the staff report reflects the new classifications and other changes that are being recommended. Agenda item 26B is a resolution of the City Council, the City of Rockland, establishing the appropriate units as required by Section 2.A of the City of Rockland Employee-Employer Resolution, which will supersede Resolution Number 2016-161. This resolution reflects all of the classifications within the city and which unit they belong to, and is updated on an annual basis to reflect any changes that occurred during the year. Agenda item 26C is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland readopting the City of Rockland Conflict of Interest Code and amending the titles of designated employees, which was last amended by Resolution Number 2017-18 on February 14th of this year. This resolution has now been updated to reflect new classifications that have been added, as well as any title changes that have occurred since it was last readopted in February. Agenda item 26D is a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland adopting the rules, regulations, benefits, and policies relating to employee relations between the management and confidential employees and the city, and will repeal Resolution Number 2016-159. This document was last revised on June 28th of 2016 by Resolution Number 2016-159. And in some key notes in the management rules, it's being recommended that all management confidential classifications other than the city manager and city attorney receive a 2.5% salary adjustment effective the pay period that includes July 1 of 2017. The city manager and city attorney classifications will not receive the 2.5% salary adjustment since their salaries are determined by their employment contracts. Effective January 6, 2018, all management and confidential employees other than the city manager and city attorney will be required to pay an additional 1% of his or her salary towards the employer's retirement contribution. The process to amend the CalPERS contract for cost sharing is similar to the process that we just went through with the public service employees unit, and it's detailed in the staff report. So staff recommends approving resolutions 26A through 26D. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
All right, thank you, Mr. Green. Vice Mayor?
No questions.
Councilmember Gallardo?
None.
Councilmember Gianda?
No questions.
Councilmember Patterson?
Sorry. Two questions. I just had a question about the raise. I'm not trying to be unpopular with all the management and classified employees here tonight, but Is that consistent with what other employees received? It sort of indicated something like that in the staff report, or so, I'm not sure what the typical raises are for how we have done that in the past.
Well, the other agreements are negotiated through their contracts. They're typically a little bit more than what Management Confidential has received. So with the 2.5% increase, that'll keep us on par with other classifications that did increase, and it's also important for compaction issues as well. But for example, the AFSCME unit in July of this year will receive a 3.5% increase. I believe, and then last year, let me see, for fire, and then last year in June, AFSCME received a 3% increase. Rockland, the RPOA, for example, received a 4% salary increase on January 7th of this year. Public Safety Management Unit, they also received a 4% salary increase. And Rockland Firefighters Union, they got a 2% adjustment for this January, but they had larger increases prior to that built into their contract. So,
okay.
So typically we're a little bit less, Management Confidential is a little bit less than the other classifications, and we... But the 2.5% we thought was fair for this time around.
Okay, and the other ones are just taken care of in the contracts, and
yes.
That's why these.
Yes.
One other random question: I was going through the Management Confidential Employees, you know, handbook or whatnot here on 26D. And I was just curious, I can actually take this question offline, I won't have to answer it, but I do have a question about maternity leave. I noticed it mentioned integration with SDI, and I was curious if employees can, and it's up to 4 months unpaid and then they can integrate, can the sick leave go on for that entire 4 months, or is it, because some companies sort of restrict it, you gotta do it within the first 6 weeks. Sick leave portion?
Yeah, when they're on maternity leave?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it can, I mean, a lot of it depends on how much leave they have, but
sure.
Yeah, just under FMLA, they would have up to 12 weeks, and they'd also have bonding leave as well through the city, so they actually have pretty generous time off.
But they can integrate
their
sick leave for the entire four-month period, though.
Well, actually, when they're out on maternity leave, for a portion of it, they will be on SDI. When they're on SDI, typically it's 6 to 8 weeks before the birth. They'll typically be on SDI and then afterwards as well. During that time, they can't integrate the sick leave. Once they're off of SDI, then they're just using their leave balances.
Mike, would you explain what SDI is?
That's a state disability integration program. It's so if the doctor declares the woman disabled at some point, normally they will about six weeks or so prior to the birth. Sometimes it's less, and then normally it's 6 to 8 weeks after the birth. They'll also be considered disabled under the state. So we have an integration program. The state will typically pay about 2/3 of the salary while they're on integration. And then we'll make up 1/3 of their salary, so they get a full check through their leave balances.
Okay, great, thank you. I just asked that question just because I sort of flagged it last night, because I was thinking about, like I said, some companies will only do that first 6 weeks that people are getting SDI, that they'll integrate sick leave, and then after that they have to use vacation, basically. And so it makes it hard, because a lot of people typically have sick leave sort of banked up, and so it's kind of a bummer for some people if they can only use it during those 6 weeks. So I was just curious about that, but I think you answered the question there. So
and then once everyone's recovered, and then they are able to use vacation as well.
Oh yeah, sure. Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much for being so thorough.
No problem. You're welcome.
Any comments from the public? Okay, I bring this back, and I'm required by Senate Bill 1436, passed by the state last fall, requires that the City Council to orally report a summary of any council action on salaries, salary schedules, or fringe benefits for executive managers. Executive managers are defined as the city manager, city attorney, and the department heads. Accordingly, before the City Council as a part of the agenda items number 26A through D or A and D?
A through D.
It's It's A through D. So to clarify the record, agenda items numbers 26A through D is a recommendation to approve the salary and compensation schedules, which includes a 2.5% salary adjustment for department heads. Additionally, department heads will be required to pay an additional 1% of his or her salary towards the employee's retirement contribution effective January 6, 2018. Note, there is no salary adjustment being considered for the city manager or city attorney. Okay, did I do that all right? Okay, thank you, Kim. All right, I'll bring us back for any deliberation and.
Thanks. Thanks, Senate Bill, for that.
Yep, so we have before us item 26, A through D, A, B, C, and D. They can be taken all as one motion. Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve item 26, A, B, C, and D.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. A, 26, B, A through D. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries unanimously. Next item, item 27, these are ordinances. The item 27 is the camping on public property. And who will be providing a report? Our chief of police. Thank you, Mr. Butler. Chad Butler.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. Chad Butler for the police department. Have tonight before you two ordinances that staff is recommending be amended. The first is a repeal and replace. It's chapter 9.24 of Title IX of the Municipal Code. And if you'll notice from your packets, the original camping ordinance was rather sparse, lacking lots of definitions and really some direction. And so we've gone through and added the actual definitions of camping, discussed what constitutes a public nuisance, and discussed on how what can be done with abandoned property. The second municipal code related to camping is amending of chapter 12.20. And with that references the park code, and in the park code specifically camping, and allowing the director of parking to issue camping permits in parks was referenced, and we're staff is recommending that those two be removed because they're now covered in the new updated camping ordinance. And I'll have any questions for you if you'd like.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone particularly have any questions like to start?
I do.
All right, Councilmember Gallego, thank you.
On the when we in this specifically talk about public property, I know that we have some instances, and I'm not sure where the boundaries are on the property, but where a local church, there's some people that, you know, camping, and I'm sure you know Rockland Road just below Pacific. I know that there are some camping happens just on the field of that church. I don't know if that's the church property or if it's public property, but how would that impact? If it is private property.
Did you want to answer, Steve?
I'm sure I'd be happy to. So this ordinance before you just deals with public property. And typically the way we deal with folks that are camping on private property is with the cooperation of the property owner to first of all confirm that they are not there with the permission of the property owner. And then that makes it a trespass, and then we're able to remove them from the police are able to remove them from the property. There are some restrictions as it relates to types of camping in recreational vehicles, motorhomes that are in our zoning code, and we're not proposing to modify those tonight. So. What we would do as it relates to private property camping without the permission of the property owner is just to continue to utilize the trespassing statutes.
But so if the owner's given them permission to camp on some vacant property? Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, that's something that we can certainly take on, and it's something that we can regulate, but it's probably a broader discussion than this particular ordinance, because if we start looking at regulating camping with the permission of the property owner,
Then we have to examine more closely situations where, let's say it's not a vacant lot, where a vacant, you know, an owner says, you know, I don't care who camps on my property, they can be there. We get into issues such as in residential neighborhoods, if there's the parents want to allow a party in their front yard and set up a tent for the weekend, is that going to be allowed, or is that going to be covered by our ordinance? How do we differentiate between a residential lot versus a vacant lot and allowing one and not allowing another? So it's not, it's certainly something that we could explore, but I at least at staff level, we viewed that as a more complicated process. We would have to bring it, if we start revising the zoning code, we'd have to move it through the Planning Commission for their recommendations. So if that's something the council desires staff to explore, we can certainly begin that process. But the ordinance before you tonight is just focused on enhancing our ability to ensure that public property is used in a manner that protects the residents as far as their ability to maximize their enjoyment of city properties.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Councilmember Patterson?
Yes. First of all, great question. I thought that I hadn't considered that. With permission is an interesting something to definitely food for thought. But in the page four of the for that agenda item number 27 of the staff report, it goes over Exhibit A. In there it says, you know, except as may be permitted within parks by the CFD, it's unlawful to camp or squat upon any public property owned by the city. So I was reading the ordinance text, and it seems like it's more broad than public property owned by the city. And if it's not, I'm curious why we wouldn't consider public property owned by other governmental agencies such as Placer County or the school district, which I'm sure the school district obviously probably enforces their own camping on school grounds. But I was curious if the ordinance would include all public property or just city-owned public property.
Yeah, so as it's defined, public property would just mean property owned or controlled by the city. So this establishes rules and regulations for our property. If we expand it to other agencies, and that would require us to have certain coordination with them, and basically other public agencies, we view them as the same as any private property owner. If the school district wants to allow camping on their property, that is something that they can certainly regulate. If they have people that are camping on their property without their permission, then they would contact the police department, and we would treat that as a trespass. So that's why we didn't expand this ordinance to cover other public agencies, because we would just deal with other public agencies the same as private property owners.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it seems like that is something that could, as time goes on, we can address, you know, those kinds of needs later. This is clearly just streamlining and cleaning up something that's been on the books. Yeah, all right. All right, any, sorry, council, did everybody get their questions? All right, and anyone from the public, comments? Please, sir, you could come to the podium there and just. And if I recall, we have 5 minutes and there's a timer there, yeah.
So I
did
have some questions about what I heard today.
Sorry, would you push the button right there?
Thank you.
And remember, there's nothing we can take action on.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. So there were just some clarification questions. So I'll start with the definition of abandoned property, because what I didn't hear and what I was thinking about were displaced people, homeless people, people in transition. And so some of those people like to place some of their items in a safe place that might be not in a business. So is that considered abandoned property, which would be not abandoned as much as I can see it be left. It could be understood as being left by the city, but it is potentially coming back to. So for clarification, if that is, technically it's not abandoned, right? If they're coming back to it, they didn't abandon it. So it's a clarification of things like sleeping bags, potentially jackets, water, maybe food, and maybe some of these businesses, like we've been talking about, private properties have allowed some of these people to leave such items. Would that be considered abandoned property? So there's that question, as well as the question about churches. So if that is a private property, what I also heard was it was only brought up if somebody was allowing somebody to camp on their property without permission. And I found it interesting that we hadn't considered the fact that somebody would allow somebody else who was potentially homeless or displaced to camp on their property, and that would be permitted by the homeowner. So that is a scenario I hope that we're planning on, that there is people that, out of the goodness of their heart, or maybe it's a family member or a friend, they do allow that person to, in transition, right? Like the idea that they're coming out of something, moving into something different. I'd like to bring up that question again. So does the city of Rockland anticipate or plan on approaching private homeowners and how they allow other people to access their property if they are homeless, or how, you know, it's a question I heard being talked about without being directly addressed. And so I wanted to bring that up. And then, and I have some, I think it's worth answering. Yeah, I think that's, in the nuisances, would that apply during the daytime, the idea of a public nuisance? So if people that are in transition, homeless people, are in a public park, but they don't intend on sleeping there, but they are congregating during the daytime, would that be considered a public nuisance if potentially they're just spending their free time during the daytime in a park? Just some clarification questions I understand are not going to be addressed today. Thank you.
Go ahead. I'll have a city manager maybe
provide you quick responses, if I may. And Steve, I'll ask you to jump in if I get it wrong, or Chief. But tonight we're only talking about publicly, city of Rockland, publicly owned properties. There is currently no prohibition for private property owners who give permission for people to camp on theirs. Now, there are HOA rules and other things that we don't govern. Likewise, if they're in the parks during the daytime, parks are open to everyone. In the daytime, we don't make a distinction between people utilizing the parks, and it's no different if they leave a picnic basket or any other item. Obviously, if it looks like it's been discarded and left, it will probably be turned into a lost and found, which is what people tend to do. But beyond that, if you'd like to contact me after the meeting or later, I'd be happy to respond further.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, the city manager got it all as I would have hoped he would. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyone else from the public? Okay. We, again, are on item 27, A and B. Bring this to council. Entertain a motion. And again, this is a ordinance.
So, Mr. Mayor, there's actually two ordinances before you this evening.
A and B, yeah, we can only take A.
So I'd recommend you take each one separately since it's an introduction.
Yeah, and if council's pleasure just to move this, I think reading the item in its entirety would be appropriate.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item 27A, move to introduce an ordinance repealing and replacing Chapter 9.24 of Title IX of the Rockland Municipal Code regarding camping on public property, waive the full reading of the ordinance, and continue to the next regular meeting for adoption.
And I'll second the motion.
Okay, motion item 27A, moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes unanimously.
Mr. Mayor, move to approve item 27B, move to introduce an ordinance amending Chapter 12.20 of Title 12 of the Rockland Municipal Code regarding camping in public parks, waive the full reading of the ordinance, and continue to the next regular meeting for adoption.
And I'll second the motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Item 27B, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 28, this is another ordinance. We have a
yes, I'll be presenting that one, Mayor. So This particular item before you is an ordinance to regulate abusive solicitation and is being brought forward this evening at the request of the Vice Mayor with the concurrence of the City Council. And basically, it was brought forward because there's been some concern in the community with people soliciting funds in a manner that our residents and business owners found at times to be threatening and intimidating. The city does have an ordinance on its books currently that regulates door-to-door peddlers or solicitors, and this proposed ordinance regulates the solicitation of funds in public places, and that type of solicitation is commonly referred to as panhandling. Now, the solicitation of funds is oftentimes intertwined with other types of messages where folks are promoting a particular cause, and because of that intertwined activity, there's actually First Amendment protection granted by the Supreme Court for the solicitation of funds. And so the city doesn't have the ability to just outright prohibit panhandling or asking for money. But what the city does have the ability to regulate is the solicitation of funds in an abusive manner. So how this particular ordinance defines an abusive manner is in several areas. First, abusive solicitation is defined as coming closer than 3 feet to the person being solicited, blocking or interfering with their safe or free passage, following the person, acting in a manner which would cause someone to fear for their that there might be bodily harm, threatening somebody verbally or physically touching them. And then there are also certain areas where people are in a compromised manner, or they're in a situation where they can't just walk away from the person soliciting funds. And that's typically in areas such as at a bus stop, on a bus, when you're sitting in a vehicle waiting for a traffic light to change, if you're in a public parking lot, possibly dining in an outdoor restaurant, and another sensitive area is when you're in proximity to an ATM. And so this particular ordinance defines solicitation of funds in those particular physical areas to also be abusive conduct. So that is the ordinance that is proposed for your consideration tonight. This would be an introduction of the ordinance, and I'd be happy to answer any questions the council may have.
Okay. Vice Mayor, would you like to?
Well, I don't have any questions.
Okay.
I'll save it for comments
after. Right, thank you. Councilmember Gallardo, questions?
Yep.
Janda? Mr. Patterson?
I have a couple questions. The ATM, you're in proximity of an ATM. Item F, it's prohibited within 30 feet of automated teller machine.
Right.
Obviously, ATMs are kind of everywhere, but I mean, if you're at a bank or something else, I mean, you're probably coming out with cash and those things. Why doesn't the ordinance sort of maybe address that?
As far as within proximity of a
bank or financial institution or something, if you're coming out of that, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't address bank entrances in addition to the ATMs, but there is a provision that it would be abusive conduct if it was on private property or private parking lots if the owner or tenant has asked the person not to solicit on property or has posted a sign stating that solicitation is not allowed on that property. So one option under the ordinance as written would be for a banking institution, if it is a problem for them, to post a sign at their front door. Certainly another option would be to make a revision of this ordinance to specifically address banking institutions, if that was a desire of the council.
Well, I think I would seek, the guidance of our city attorney on that. I mean, I just it
struck me is that, I mean, obviously you can't list every, you know, every opportunity where there's finances involved, but, and actually the item G that you referenced with a private property owner, that was my second question, were to post a sign. Are there any required, is there any required language in that, in such a sign that business owners need to be aware of? Or does it have to be posted in a certain manner?
No, there's nothing specific. We could certainly work with business owners to assist them in that manner, but really just any sign that would clearly state that no panhandling or solicitation of funds is allowed, okay. You know, either on this site or within, you know, 30 feet or 50 feet, however they want to, okay. To word it.
Because I know private properties that post no parking in tow-away zones, there are some specific language that needs to be. Right? I mean, that's kind of what I was trying to liken this to. Right. So, but all right. Thank you. You answered that.
So, Mr. Mayor, can I just clarify that probe question? So, any private public space, they can limit or prohibit solicitation, whether it's a shopping center, even though the public is accessible, they can still limit panhandling. They don't fall under the First Amendment protection.
Well, there are certain types of businesses that the courts have recognized have broader First Amendment protections. So this particular scenario is if we had solicitation outside, say, you know, the front of Safeway, it would certainly be lawful for them to post that sign and restrict solicitation outside their front door. Mm-hmm. The areas where it gets a little bit gray is, like say, in a the Galleria for the mall site. I think that we'd have to do some further research before we could determine whether or not they could post signs and make the entire mall site unlawful for solicitation.
Okay.
The courts have recognized that certain areas are, notwithstanding the fact that they're for shopping, that they have they're for public gathering, and because of that, there's a wider berth given for First Amendment activity on those types okay. of institutions or facilities. And what the courts have done in those scenarios is to say that solicitation can be regulated but not completely outlawed, where you need to provide certain areas where solicitation can occur.
Okay, great. That helps. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. All right, is there any comments or input from the public? Okay, I hear none, so I will.
Mr. Mayor, I have one modification in the actual section 2 of the ordinance. It says the authority for the action, and the last line says Government Code Section 37101 and Business and Professions Code Section 1600. I'd like to modify that last line to just say Government Code Section 37100 and then strike the reference to the Business and Professions Code.
Okay.
So I'd ask you to introduce the ordinance with that one modification.
All right, thank you. Could entertain a motion, Council?
Well, just before we do so, I just want to thank our city attorney for the effort you put into this. I had communication with three different residents regarding situations that they had encountered at different retail locations. One was a gas station and two were at retail supermarket locations where they were approached and then followed, and they had asked what we had in place. And then talking with Chief and Mr. Rudolph, I found that we really didn't have a way to address that type of situation. And so in our discussions, you know, Steve has now put together what I feel provides us with an ability to address situations when they do occur and to provide our citizens with the ability to enjoy their shopping experience without encountering a situation that may create some discomfort when they're out and about and shopping in the Rockland area. So Stephen, thank you for putting that together. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and I apologize. I kind of went right past any comments, so thank you for. Jill, any comments?
Yeah, thank you.
Correct.
I'd just like to thank Vice Mayor Broadway for sort of spearheading this and working with the chief and our city attorney. This has been something over the last couple of years I've kind of noticed pop up in certain areas around off Sierra College and over off near Costco, kind of especially around church time on Sunday. So it's great that we've got something now that we can enforce it and clean up things. Thank you.
Yes, and not only that, it just clarifies getting more and more questions about really door-to-door solicitors, you know, and things like that. It obviously has to do with private property as well. And the door-to-door solicitors, not all, you know, a lot of them are people who are just doing their best to make a living and stuff, but some of them are aggressive, you know, and even if you, you might allow solicitors like I do, and you tell them, okay, I don't want to buy anything, this sort of gives you the ability to, you know, to address that. And so.
Okay, thank you. I want to thank our chief and our city attorney, too. I know you've kind of been keeping your eyes on a number of the ordinances that address these sort of areas, and so I appreciate that and all your efforts there. So. Okay, now I would enter, we have a motion, that's right, we have a motion on, and Vice Mayor.
Actually, I don't think we've
made a motion. Do not make the motion?
We've not made a motion, so I will do so now.
I thought you started to make a motion, I think, and that's when we, and you swerved out.
I asked if we could have comments.
All right, we'll come back.
So I will move to introduce an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rockland, adding Chapter 9.46 of the Rockland Municipal Code relating to abusive solicitation. Waive the full reading of the ordinance and continue to the next regular meeting for adoption, and also include as modified the information by City Attorney Stephen Rudolph.
I'll second.
Thank you. It's moved and seconded for item 28. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. All right. Thank you. Thanks again, Steve. And the next item is the bid action, item 29. Resolution of City Council, City of Rockland, authorizing City Manager to award a bid for the intersection roadway at the new fire station. And Justin, are you up for a?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Good evening, Mayor, Honorable Council, Justin Urker, Deputy Director with Public Services. This evening we have before you this bid award. We received two bids from McGuire and Hester and Western Engineering Contractors. It was a very close bid, only about $25,000 difference between the two bids. This is to provide access to the new fire station and to the Adventure Park and to any future retail development that's going to be in that area. I'm here to answer any questions that you might have about the bids and the award.
Council, questions? Mr. Janda, Patterson? I don't have any questions either. It's pretty straightforward and been discussing this a long time. So, any comments from public? Okay, then I'm back to council here.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution of the City Council of the City of Rockland authorizing the city manager to award the bid for the intersection and roadway at new fire station number one.
I'll second.
All right, moved and seconded. And all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 30, City Manager Report.
No, sir.
City Attorney?
No, sir.
Item 31, Future Agenda Items. I think we addressed that earlier regarding the study session. Any other future agenda items?
I did have one. I asked if our City Attorney could review with us at a future agenda the Brownback and how it deals with online, especially our neighborhood groups. I think it's something that could be helpful for us to clarify. Every once in a while I get that person that says, well, yeah, this city council person responded, but this one didn't. And so explaining that, you know, there is some limitations in our concerns that we're having a meeting online with, and so I'd like to have an opportunity to have that conversation, and so we could kind of go through that process.
It's a gray area. That'd be great. I'd appreciate that as well.
Okay, thank you.
Another good.
All right. Public Financing Authority. This is item 32, resolution and then of the Public Financing Authority, the City of Rockland adopting a budget for fiscal year 17-18. Is Mary still here? You're not Mary. Jason's here.
Jason's here.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and Council. Jason Johnson, Administrative Services. You have before you the fiscal year 2017-2018 budget for the Rockland Public Financing Authority, RPFA. The expenditures of the RPFA are related to the payment of on revenue bonds that were originally issued in 1999, subsequently refinanced in 2003. The proceeds from the bonds were used to invest in the Community Facilities District 6, 8, and 9 bonds, the CFDs. Debt service payments made by the CFDs to the RPFA are used to pay the RPFA 2003 bond debt service payments. Revenue income to the RPFA comes from the debt service interest payments made by the CFDs. Staff submits the fiscal year 2017-18 RPFA budget for your approval tonight, and I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Questions over on my right?
Nope.
Councilmember Patterson, Vice Mayor.
No questions.
All right, I too have no questions. Any comment from the public? Okay. All right, Council.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item 32, resolution of the Public Financing Authority of the City of Rockland, adopting a budget for fiscal year 2017-2018.
I'll second.
Motion is moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. And again, I'm sorry, that was as the Public Financing Authority. Right. I don't think I clarified that for the record. City Council acting as successor agency. No action. All right, and before we adjourn, I also want to just remind us that it's 4th of July and there are fireworks in our fire department. I know this is a heightened time for you, and so, you know, be safe, and let's hope there are no incidences, and hopefully the public will be safe as well. So thank you for all your work. And meeting adjourned. Thank you. I know.